Friends by mail.
A friend for my friends. A few weeks ago, I brought the friend with me to school. I showed it to my friends. They loved it. They wanted me to bring it again, so I did. I felt the spirit. Elsa S., age 8, Alabama, USA.
Sacred Sunday. I really like baseball. My friend wanted to have a pitching coach come teach us, but they wanted to do it on Sunday. My dad told me about it, but said that I could choose not to go. We told my friend that we keep Sunday sacred. They scheduled it for another day, and it all worked out okay. When I read the story by Elder Larry Y. Wilson about not playing sports on Sundays, I felt good about my decision. Miles B., age 7, New York, USA.
Sharing with our neighbors. For family home evening, we had a lesson about sharing the gospel. We made the CTR pretzels in the January 2012 friend. After baking them, we brought them to our neighbors and invited them to an activity at church. Rachel got to tell them that CTR stands for Choose the Right. The neighbors didn't come to that activity, but we are planning to invite them to supper and other activities. Kirsten, Emma, and Rachel K., ages 1, 2, and 3, North Dakota, USA.
How I Read the Friend. Robert put together a binder of the I Can Play It songs from the friend. He loves practicing them every day before school so he can someday play for primary. Robert T., age 9, California, USA. Dear friends, have you ever noticed how many kinds of people are in the world? Some are short and some are tall. Some can run fast and others ride in wheelchairs. But no matter what, each one is a child of God. Look on pages 30 and 32 to learn about treating everyone you meet with kindness and respect. Then spread the word at school, at church, and in your family. Love, the friend. P.S. Try sharing your love by smiling at 10 people today.
Was there a letter or a story in this month's issue that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 48 to find out how. End of Friends by Mail.
From the First Presidency, Lessons from the Prophet Joseph, by President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James chapter 1, verse 5. Lesson 1. Pray. The young Joseph Smith showed us how to pray. He believed in the promise he read in the New Testament book of James, chapter 1, verse 5. He went to the grove with faith that his prayer would be answered. He wanted to know which church to join. He was submissive enough to be ready to do whatever he was told to do. So he prayed, as we must, already committed to obey. Lesson 2. Feast on the Scriptures. The prophet Joseph taught us what it means to feast on the Scriptures. He said that the Book of Mormon would get a man nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book. See the introduction to the Book of Mormon. Lesson 3. Serve others. Love others by serving others. That brings the Spirit. The prophet Joseph taught that, and he lived it. Lesson 4. Build faith. The prophet Joseph Smith was an example and a teacher of enduring well in faith. I thank and love him as the Lord's prophet of the restoration. He has helped me pray with the intent to obey. I am better able to feast in the Word and the love of God. Because of him, I feel the Holy Ghost more often, and because of what I know of the prophet Joseph and the scriptures which were revealed through him, I more often feel the love of God for his children and for me. My prayer is that we will endure in faith in the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. This is his church. Joseph was his prophet. I know this by the Spirit, which tells me that it is true. adapted from An Enduring Testimony of the Mission of the Prophet Joseph, Ensign, November 2003, pages 89 through 92. End of the article, Lessons from the Prophet Joseph, by President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Read by Dwayne Case.
Best Family Forever, by Olivia Corey, based on a true story. The other girls were leaving Olivia out. Could anything make it better? I have a family here on earth. They are so good to me. Children's Songbook, page 188. Olivia hung her head as she listened to the excited whispers of the girls sitting behind her on the bus. I'm so glad your mom said you could get off at my bus stop with me. Did you bring the games? I've got them. My mom let me bring a bag of popcorn, too. Olivia frowned into the book she was reading. Didn't they know she could hear them? She definitely didn't like listening to her two friends make plans for something she wasn't invited to. Stephanie, Rebecca, and Olivia had been friends for a long time. They used to do everything together. But when the new school year started, Stephanie and Rebecca found out they had the same teacher, while Olivia was in a different class. Olivia remembered the sad feeling she had in her stomach as the two girls eagerly talked about sitting next to each other in class and eating together at lunch. She had that same sad feeling now. The bus rolled to a stop in front of Rebecca's house. Olivia watched miserably from the window as the girls jumped off the bus and ran to the front yard. By the time the bus finally reached Olivia's stop, she could barely hold back her tears. She hurried into the house. "How was school?" Mom asked. Olivia started crying. "It was awful. Rebecca and Stephanie barely even talked to me anymore, and we were supposed to be best friends forever," she sobbed. "I'm so sorry, Olivia. It's hard when friendships start to change," Mom said. She paused for a moment. "Do you remember when we went to the temple to be sealed?" she asked, pointing at the picture hanging on the wall. Olivia looked and saw her family smiling in front of the temple. She had been a lot younger then, but she could still remember being with her parents and older sister Jane in the beautiful sealing room. "Do you know why we worked so hard to get ready to go to the temple?" Mom asked. "Because we wanted to be a family forever?" Olivia said. "Exactly. Even if you're not best friends with Rebecca and Stephanie forever, you'll still have your family as your friends forever." "Yeah," Olivia said, "but it's not the same." "I know your feelings are hurt," Mom said, "but I'm glad you're home. I have a job for you and Jane." Olivia couldn't believe her ears. Instead of helping her feel better, Mom was giving her chores. "Go put on some old clothes and meet me on the back porch. Tell Jane to come too." Olivia went upstairs, stomping her feet a little, and put on her work clothes. When the girls were dressed and outside, they saw Mom walking back from the shed. She was carrying a green can, some paintbrushes, and a wadded-up sheet of plastic. When she got to the porch, she laid down the plastic and handed each girl a brush. "You're going to let us paint something?" Olivia asked skeptically. "Usually Dad did those kinds of projects." "Yep," Mom said. "I want the back door painted by dinner time." And then she turned and went into the house. The girls looked at each other for a long moment and then grinned. This could be fun. They dipped their brushes in the smooth green paint and got to work. Olivia liked this job. It didn't seem like doing chores at all. Jane showed her how to move her brush in long, even strokes. Soon the girls were laughing and talking. Olivia started to remember all the fun times she and Jane had spent together. She was glad she would always have her sister for a friend. A couple of hours later, the girls were covered in splotches of green paint and wearing huge smiles. Olivia carefully opened the shiny green door and poked her head inside. "Mom, we're done with the door," she called. "Come see how great it looks."
Sidebar. We build deep and loving family relationships by doing simple things together. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the First Presidency.
End of the story, Best Family Forever, by Olivia Corey. Read by Kate Strongen.
Family Fun Time. Read the story, Best Family Forever, pages 4 through 5, and talk about times when your family has worked together. What things can you do to help a family member who may need extra love? Be sure to get an adult's help with this craft and recipe. Origami Heart Envelopes. Show your family members you love them by giving them a secret message inside this heart envelope. You will need a pen or pencil, colored paper, and scissors. Step 1. Fold a paper in half. Line up the fold along the edge of the heart half on this page. Trace the heart half onto your paper. Cut it out and open the fold. You can use this to trace more hearts. Step 2. Fold the sides of your heart in thirds. Step 3. Fold the top of your heart down. Fold the pointed end and tuck it in to close the envelope. Step 4. Open the heart and write a special message inside. Close it up and give it to a family member. Apple sandwiches. Snack on these yummy apple sandwiches while you write and read your messages together. You will need apples, small cookie cutters, peanut or almond butter, or chocolate hazelnut spread. Toppings, raisins, chocolate chips, granola, nuts, etc. Step 1. Have an adult cut an apple into horizontal slices. Cut through the whole apple, including the core. Step 2. Remove the core with a small cookie cutter. Use a cookie cutter with a fun shape. Step 3. Spread peanut or almond butter on an apple slice and sprinkle on the toppings. Step 4. Top with another apple slice and eat up. End of the activity, Family Fun Time. Read by Andrew Clay.
Heavenly Father Loves You, by President Thomas S. Monson. Heavenly Father loves you, each of you. That love never changes. It is not influenced by your appearance or by your possessions. It is there for you when you are sad or happy, discouraged or hopeful. It is not changed by your talents and abilities. It is simply there. God's love is there for you whether or not you feel you deserve love. It is simply always there. From We Never Walk Alone, Ensign, November 2013, pages 123 through 124. End of the article, Heavenly Father Loves You, by President Thomas S. Monson. Read by Dwayne Case.
Ty's Courage, by Amy Dean Cardone, based on a true story. Ty was nervous about his surgery. What could he do? Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Ty climbed into the car with Mom and Dad for the long trip to the hospital. He felt sick to his stomach. He would rather go to school all day than have surgery on his foot. Over the past several weeks, Ty's family had prayed that his surgery would go well. Ty had also prayed that he would not be too scared. Last night, Dad had given him a blessing that he would be courageous and that the surgery would fix the problem with his foot. So why did he still feel so nervous?
"Don't worry, Ty,"
Dad said from the driver's seat.
"The surgery's very simple, and the doctor knows what he's doing. Everything is going to be fine."
Ty nodded, but he didn't feel any better. His parents had explained to him that even though he didn't have any problems walking or running now, if he didn't have this surgery, his foot would have problems in the future. Maybe it would be better to just deal with the problems later on, Ty thought. As they pulled into the parking lot of the hospital, Ty started to cry. Surgery sounded so scary.
"Sweetheart, don't worry,"
Mom said, turning around in the front seat.
"I don't want to have this surgery,"
Ty said, choking down tears.
"Ty, this surgery is a blessing. We live in a time when doctors can fix your foot so you can have a healthy, active life. We have all been praying for you. And Dad gave you a blessing last night. Heavenly Father will help you. It's going to be okay,"
Mom said, Ty knew everything Mom said was true, but he still felt scared. Dad parked the car and turned around to face Ty.
"What can we do to help you, Ty?"
Dad asked. Ty was quiet for a long time. He thought about what Mom had said. He knew Heavenly Father could help him be ready for his surgery. Maybe he just needed to show a little more faith.
"I want to say another prayer,"
Ty said.
"Who do you want to say it?"
Dad asked.
"I'll say it,"
Ty said. Sitting in the car in front of the hospital, they all bowed their heads and Ty started to pray.
"Dear Heavenly Father, please help me be brave so I can have this surgery. Thank you for blessing us with good doctors and medicine so I can get better. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen."
A warm feeling of peace filled Ty as he finished the prayer.
"Do you feel that?"
"Yeah, is that the Holy Ghost?"
Ty asked.
"Yes, that's the Holy Ghost, telling us everything's going to be all right."
"What do you think, Ty?"
Mom asked.
"Are you ready to go in?"
Ty took a deep breath. He still felt a little nervous, but he knew it was going to be okay. He nodded his head.
"I'm ready,"
he said. A few hours later, Ty left the hospital with a bandaged foot. Dad pushed him out to the car in a wheelchair. He would need to walk on crutches for the next few weeks, but the doctor had said the surgery went well. Ty had a smile on his face. He knew the Holy Ghost had helped him be courageous. End of the story, Ty's Courage, by Amy Dean Cardone. Read by Kate Strongen.
Better Words, Better Friends, A True Story, written by you. By Kira S., age 11, Utah, USA. It was one thing not to swear, but I decided to ask my friends to stop too. When I was 9, I had friends who used to swear a lot. I thought if they were doing it, maybe I could too. I talked to my parents and they said it wasn't the right thing to do. Then I prayed to Heavenly Father and felt that it wasn't right to swear. It was one thing not to swear, but I decided to ask my friends to stop as well. It was a little bit hard to stand up to my friends, especially the ones I didn't know well. Most of my friends accepted my wish, but others said, "This is the way I talk, so if you have a problem with it, I can stop hanging out with you." That was hard at first, but then I realized that they weren't my true friends. Sometimes, if you hang out with people, you eventually get used to the way they talk or act, and you can forget what's right or wrong. Making the right decision when I was 9 has helped me make other good decisions since then. It taught me that I could make good decisions by talking to my parents and praying. I can know what I need to do. Even though I knew my parents' opinion was right, I decided to pray as well to be sure about what I was doing, especially when it came to not hanging out with some of my friends. No matter how old we are, Heavenly Father is always there for us. I know I can rely on Him to tell me what I need to do. If you feel that you need to pray about something, just do it. Even if you ask your friends what their thoughts are, their opinions may not always be correct. But Heavenly Father will always help us know what the right thing to do is. End of the story, Better Words, Better Friends. Read by Eden Reinwand.
Inviting Jacob by Marissa Whittison. This was too much fun to be missionary work. I can be a missionary now. I don't have to wait until I'm grown. Children's Songbook, page 168.
"Hey, pal, you got mail,"
Dad said, tossing an envelope to Ryan.
"Thanks,"
Ryan said. He never got mail, except for birthday cards from Grandma. Who could it be from?
"Looks like it's from Sister Ray,"
Dad said. He added that she was writing from a place that sounded like the empty seat.
"What's the empty seat?"
Ryan asked Dad, tearing open the envelope. Dad smiled.
"Not empty seat. MTC. It stands for Missionary Training Center. It's where missionaries go to learn different languages and how to teach people the gospel."
Sister Ray had been Ryan's favorite primary teacher before she left for her mission. Ryan knew serving a mission was a good thing to do, but he still missed her sometimes. He read the letter out loud. Sister Ray told about the lesson she was learning and about her companion. At the end of the letter, she told Ryan to be a good missionary. "How can I be a good missionary when I'm still a kid?" Ryan wondered. Later that day, Mom asked Ryan if he'd come with her to deliver some invitations. She was a primary leader and wanted to visit the kids who didn't come to church or activities very often. Ryan felt nervous. Sometimes he didn't like talking to new people, but he knew helping out would mean a lot to Mom. Before long, the two of them were bumping along a dirt road on the edge of town. Soon they pulled into a gated area full of trailer homes. Ryan followed Mom to a blue trailer and watched as she rang the doorbell. A woman opened the door and invited them inside. As Ryan walked in, he could see a boy sitting on the floor playing a video game.
"This is my son, Jacob," the woman said.
Jacob turned to look at the visitors, and Ryan smiled and sat down next to him. Soon they were laughing and talking.
"Hey, thanks,"
Jacob said, as Ryan showed him a secret passageway that led his character to the next level of the game.
"Let's save this for later and go look at my pet iguana."
"Cool,"
Ryan said. Ryan liked touching the smooth scales of the iguana, while Jacob showed him other fun things around his room. When Mom said it was time to leave, Ryan made sure to give Jacob one of the invitations. As they drove away, Mom turned and smiled at Ryan.
"You're a natural missionary. You know that?"
Ryan's eyebrows scrunched together as he turned to look at Mom.
"What do you mean?"
he asked.
"I didn't do any missionary stuff over there. I just hung out with Jacob. He's fun."
Mom nodded.
"That's exactly what I mean. You were a great missionary because you just wanted to get to know Jacob, and you weren't afraid to be yourself."
Ryan smiled as he leaned back in his seat. He felt good inside. He couldn't wait to write to Sister Ray and tell her about his new friend and what he had learned about being a natural missionary.
Sidebar. As a member of the church, reach out to those you do not know and greet them warmly. Each day of your life, strive to enlarge your own circle of friendship. Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles.
End of the story, Inviting Jacob, by Marissa Whittison, narrated by Susie Venable.
Privyet, drug. I'm Arina from Russia. From an interview by Amy Jane Levitt. Do you like to share your testimony with others? Maybe you share it in church. Or maybe you share it with your family, friends, and teachers by being a good example. This is Arina from Kazan, Russia, and she is 7 years old. She wants you to know a little more about her and about the many ways she knows the church is true.
Before I go to sleep, I read my scriptures with my mom. My favorite story is in 1 Nephi, when Lehi left Jerusalem with his family. Reading the scriptures, saying my prayers, and bearing my testimony helped me get ready to be baptized. I love to perform on stage. I must get this from my mom because she is a professional opera singer. I like to sing and play the violin. At least once a year, my mom and I travel to the Kyiv, Ukraine temple. We ride a train to get there, and the trip usually takes us 2 days. We have fun looking at the many cities and farmlands that we pass. I love to visit the temple. I have many chances to talk about the gospel with others. I invite my friends to come to primary with me. A while ago, I taught my great-grandmother how we bless the food. Now we pray together over meals. I have a fun life in Russia. When it's warm outside, my mom and I swim in the Volga River and walk in the park near our house. When it's cold in the wintertime, we like to ice skate. We also like to see the animals perform at the circus and watch the puppet performances at the doll theater.
End of the article. Friends around the world.
Bulletin board. Fun facts about Russia. Have you met Arina yet?
You can read more about her life in Russia on pages 14 and 15. Here are some fun things you may not know about Russia. It's the largest country in the world, almost twice as big as Canada. Its national animal is the brown bear. It has the deepest lake in the world, Lake Baikal. 1,700 meters, or 5,577 feet. Family history. I am doing it. A collage is a collection of pictures. You can make a collage of your family using photos or illustrations. Note, you may need assistance with this activity. Ask an adult for copies of photos of family members and ancestors. Glue the photos on a piece of heavy paper so that all the paper is covered. It's okay if the photos overlap a little bit. If you don't have photos, you can draw pictures or write names on pieces of paper and use these instead. For a fun family home evening, you could show your collage to your family and talk about who is in each picture. Here's how to say, "I am a child of God" in Russian. Я Господня дитя.
Blinis. What's round, warm, golden, and delicious? Blinis. These pancakes symbolize the sun, and they are the most popular food of a Russian festival called Maslenitsa. You can top them with all sorts of things, like mushrooms, sour cream, fish eggs, fruit, or jam. Or you can eat them with just a little melted butter. Remember to get an adult's help when cooking. Makes 10 to 20 blinis. Ingredients: 2 eggs, 2 cups of milk, 1 cup of flour, 1/2 teaspoon of sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, vegetable oil. Step 1. Whisk together the eggs and milk. Add the dry ingredients. Step 2. Lightly grease the bottom of a frying pan with vegetable oil and heat it on medium heat. Step 3. Ladle a thin layer of batter to cover the bottom of the pan. Step 4. Bubbles will start forming in the blini. Cook until all the bubbles have popped and the edges look crisp. Slide a spatula under the blini, flip, and cook the other side until lightly brown. Step 5. Flip the blini onto a plate and enjoy!
Picture Maslenitsa. The week-long Russian festival, Maslenitsa, celebrates the end of winter and the start of spring. It's also a time when people ask forgiveness for things they have done wrong during the year. What if? What if a neighbor asked you why you go to church? What would you say? End of the section, Bulletin Board.
The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy. Matt brings a friend home from school and says to his mother,
"Mom, this is Austin. He's in my class. Is it okay if we play video games for a while? I haven't used many of my minutes this week."
His mother replies,
"That's fine. You'll be playing our approved games, right?"
"Yep."
Then his friend says,
"You have a time limit?"
Matt answers,
"Yeah, I used to play video games too much, so now I have a limit every week. I was kind of mad about it at first."
Then Mom calls out from the other room,
"But your grades have gotten better."
And Matt continues,
"And I started playing real sports again, like basketball. Hey, let's shoot some hoops before we play video games."
The two friends go out in the driveway to play basketball. "Watch this shot," Matt says. Suddenly, Matt's sister Mandy comes around the corner and catches the basketball as it bounces off the rim. Matt and Austin shout out together,
"Throw it to me!"
Instead, Mandy shoots the ball straight through the basket and says,
"Gee, that's pretty easy."
As she walks away, she thinks to herself,
"Especially when you've been practicing secretly."
End of the February 2014 installment of The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy, read by Dwayne Case.
Obstacle Course Challenge by David Dixon, Church Magazines. Based on a true story. DJ was blindfolded, but not alone. The Holy Ghost shall be thy constant companion, Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verse 46. DJ walked out of the church building with the other kids who had come to the Saturday activity. They'd already had a lot of fun. He couldn't wait to see what was next. Brother and Sister Jones led the group to the back parking lot. A bunch of plastic chairs were set up in a really weird arrangement, not in rows at all. "So," Brother Jones said, clapping his hands together and smiling, "who wants to try our obstacle course?" DJ's hands shot up. Awesome. He loved obstacle courses. This one looked kind of easy, but that was okay. It would still be cool. Sister Jones nodded to DJ, then turned to the other kids. "You'll all have a chance," she said with a smile, "but I'm afraid it's not as easy as it looks." She pulled a blindfold from her pocket. DJ stared at the blindfold, then back at the chairs. This was going to be a lot harder than he'd thought. "Don't worry, DJ," Brother Jones said. "You'll have help." "Who would like to be DJ's helper?" This time, his friend Sam's hand went up first. Sister Jones sent Sam to the other side of the obstacle course. "Okay, Sam, your job is to tell DJ how to get through without running into any chairs. If he needs to go left, right, back, or forward, you tell him. Understand?" "Yep," Sam said. Brother Jones placed a hand on DJ's shoulder. "DJ, listen closely to Sam's voice. If you bump into a chair, you'll have to take 3 steps back and keep trying. Ready?" "I think so," DJ said. It still sounded fun, but he was starting to wish he hadn't volunteered first. He'd probably bump into at least 2 or 3 chairs. Brother Jones tied on the blindfold. "Good luck." "Okay," Sam said. "Walk forward 3 steps. DJ started moving his feet. It felt so strange walking in the dark like that. "Now another 2 steps, Sam said. "Yeah, now 1 more. Good, now turn left." As DJ kept dodging the chairs, he started feeling confident. "Turn right," Sam said a minute later. But DJ didn't listen right away. He thought for sure he remembered a straight path right about there. He could get through faster if he kept going the way he was headed. He took a step or two without turning. "Wait," Sam said. "I said turn right." "I will in just a..." DJ bumped right into a chair. It slid across the ground. "Oops." "That's okay," Brother Jones said. "Just back up and try again." DJ felt silly. He should have listened to Sam. He carefully backed up 3 steps. This time, Sam talked him all the way through without another bump. The other kids clapped as DJ took off his blindfold and gave Sam a high five. Sister Jones pointed at the chairs. "Our lives can be like this obstacle course," she said. "It's not always easy to see problems on our own, but we have a helper too. Can anybody tell me who that helper is?" Shayla raised her hand. "The Holy Ghost," she said. Brother Jones nodded. "Exactly. He can help us avoid hidden dangers. Now, who's next?" All the other kids raised their hands at once. DJ decided right then that he would always listen to the Holy Ghost. He knew then he would be safe from hidden dangers. End of the article, Obstacle Course Challenge by David Dixon, Church Magazines, based on a true story, read by Wes Nelson.
Special Witness by Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. The members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles are special witnesses of Jesus Christ. Question: at my age, what can I do to make the world a better place? In your morning prayer each day, ask Heavenly Father to guide you to find an opportunity to serve. Then go throughout the day looking for someone to help. Stay focused, just like honeybees focus on flowers. Simple daily acts of service sweeten and nourish the world. They help bring the light of Christ to the world. From Be Anxiously Engaged, Ensign, November 2012, pages 29 through 31. End of Special Witness by Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Read by Dwayne Case.
Pockets Full of Rocks by Larry Hiller. Malcolm Tent was just fine. He was doing okay, till he went to his classroom one dark, stormy day. And his teacher, Ms. Crabb, blew her cork, flipped her lid, blaming Malcolm for something that someone else did. It just wasn't fair. It just wasn't right, Malcolm said to himself at the bus stop that night. I will not forgive, and I will not forget, he promised himself in the cold and the wet. Looking down as the rain soaked his left shoe and sock, he saw something shiny, a rain-slickened rock. What a perfect reminder! My best idea yet. This rock will remind me to never forget. But Malcolm soon found one rock wasn't enough. Turns out he was bothered by all kinds of stuff. Malcolm got quite annoyed with the things people do, 'cause he didn't remember that he's people too. So finding more pebbles, more stones, and more rocks, he put them in pockets, even down in his socks. If you want to stay grumpy and grouchy all day, a sore foot's the best thing, our Malcolm would say. The trouble with rocks is they're hard and they're bumpy. They make your clothes saggy. You start to look lumpy. But that's not the worst thing that happened to Tent. Inside, he was hardening, just like cement. Till walking one day in the rain, all dejected, he saw himself in a large puddle reflected. His first thought was, wow, that's one big lumpy rock. No, wait, that is me, he exclaimed with a shock. Oh, what am I doing? He heard himself groan. My heart is now nearly as hard as a stone. After thinking all night, Malcolm said, now I see. When I don't forgive others, I hurt only me. So he took all the stones from his pockets and socks and built a rock garden with all of those rocks. Then every time someone did him a good deed, Malcolm went to his garden and planted a seed. Now Malcolm grows beautiful veggies and blossoms, and everyone says that his garden looks awesome. He doesn't look lumpy. He smiles a lot, too. 'Cause he only remembers the good people do. End of Pockets Full of Rocks by Larry Hiller. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
The Stolen Soda by Susan Denny, based on a true story. Dare to do right, dare to be true. Children's Songbook, page 158. Annette was excited when she got a part in the musical her city's community theater was putting on. She sang in two numbers and had lines to memorize. The rehearsals had taken up a lot of her summer, but Annette didn't mind because everything about being in a play was fun. There were three other children in the play, two girls and a boy. Because they were in only three scenes, she and the other children had lots of time to explore the theater while they weren't rehearsing. They looked in prop rooms and costume rooms and watched people building and painting sets. Heather, who was the oldest, had been in plays before, and she knew her way around backstage. On the night before the play opened, Heather said to Annette, "Come see what I have." Annette followed her. She couldn't wait to see what Heather would show her. "Look, someone put free sodas here for us," Heather said, showing her a small refrigerator in a room that looked like an office. In the refrigerator were some bottles of Annette's favorite soda. She was really thirsty, and the drinks looked delicious. "Go ahead, take one," Heather said. "I don't know," Annette said. She just wasn't sure about this. "It's okay. They mean for us to take them. I've come here before to get one. No one said anything." So Annette decided it must be okay. She opened a bottle of soda and took a big drink. It tasted wonderful. "Let's go finish these in the restroom," Heather said. That seemed strange to Annette, but Heather was older, so Annette followed her to the restroom stalls to drink their sodas.
When Annette realized that they were hiding, she began to wonder if they were doing something wrong. Were they not supposed to take the sodas? She began to worry. After the dress rehearsal was over, even the applause couldn't get rid of the sick feeling in her stomach. The next day, Annette wasn't excited about going back for opening night. All the way to the theater, she thought about the soda she had taken. Before she got out of the car, she told her mom about what happened. "Do you think they really were for us?" Annette asked. She hoped her mother would say yes so she could feel better again. "How do you feel about it?" Mom asked. "I feel terrible." "That's the Holy Ghost telling you that you did something wrong." "But I can't put the soda back. What do I do now?" Annette asked. "Well, you can pray and ask for forgiveness. After the performance, you can show me where you found the drinks, and I'll find out who they belong to. Then you can pay for the drink with your allowance." Annette bowed her head right then and said a silent prayer. In her prayer, she said she was sorry she had taken something that didn't belong to her. After the prayer, she felt better. "I'm very proud of you, Annette," Mom said.
"You are?"
"Yes. Even though Heather told you it was the right thing to do, you listened to the Holy Ghost telling you that it wasn't. We all make mistakes, but learning how to repent is an important part of growing up. Now go break a leg." Annette laughed. "Break a leg is what people in the theater say to wish someone good luck." "I will," Annette said, as she waved goodbye to her mom. While she put on her makeup and costume, she felt happy. She had learned a lot more than how to be a good actress this summer. End of the story, The Stolen Soda, by Susan Denny. Read by Susie Venable.
I Hope They Call Me on a Mission. Be better prepared for tomorrow by learning these skills today. Get moving. Most missionaries spend their days praying, reading scriptures, walking, riding bicycles, talking to people, and teaching the gospel. It's hard work. Just as it's important to be spiritually ready to serve a mission, it's also important to be physically ready to handle the work. To be as healthy as you can be, your body needs to be active for an hour or more each day. Below are some examples of fun exercise. Talk with your parents and decide if you're getting enough activity. If you need to, set an exercise goal. For more about setting goals, see I Hope They Call Me on a Mission in January 2013, Friend. Aerobic, walking, running, riding a bike, hiking, rollerblading. Bone strengthening, jumping rope, hopscotch, tennis, volleyball, basketball. Muscle strengthening, gymnastics, tug of war, sit-ups, monkey bars, climbing trees. Some people with health problems aren't able to serve as full-time missionaries. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles said,
"They shouldn't feel guilty about that. They are just as precious and important to the church as if they were able to go into the mission field. But while they don't serve full-time, they can take every opportunity to find and help people join the church."
Hello, readers. My companion and I exercise for half an hour every morning. We also walk about 6 miles a day. I am so grateful for my body. The scriptures teach that the body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. See 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Sincerely, Sister Jogger. End of I Hope They Call Me on a Mission.
Following Jesus. Be loving. What Jesus taught. A man once asked Jesus, "Which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus answered, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39. This month's challenges. Help someone with a hard chore. If someone in your family is sad, tell them how much you love them. If someone in your family is misbehaving, think about how Jesus loves that person and treat them kindly. I challenge myself to fill in the blank.
Following Jesus today. One time, a boy kept bullying a girl at school. I knew she wasn't happy, so I told the teacher for her and gave her a little gift. Now we are great friends. Kathy L., age 10, Philippines.
I won a certificate to get a free bike. As I looked at the bikes, I thought of my 7-year-old sister. Her bike was having problems. I saw some good bikes for my sister, so I gave the certificate to her. She picked a great bike and loves it. Hunter H., age 9, Utah, USA. End of the section, Following Jesus.
Friend to Friend, The Harvest, by Elder Kawichi Aoyagi of the 70. The Holy Ghost will show unto you all things what ye should do. 2 Nephi, chapter 32, verse 5. As a boy in Japan, I wanted to learn English, but English lessons were expensive, and I did not have enough money to pay for them. One day I saw two young men handing out flyers for free English lessons. They were missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I immediately signed up for their English class. I sensed something special about the missionaries. They were cheerful and positive. I asked them about their church, and my heart was touched. I did not understand it at the time, but I was feeling the Spirit. Soon I wanted to be baptized. My parents did not want me to be baptized into a church that was different from theirs. But the missionaries came to my home and lovingly talked with my parents. The Spirit touched my parents' hearts, and they gave me permission to be baptized. One Sunday in October, I was assigned to give an important part in a program at church. But in October, everyone in my family had to work hard to harvest the rice in my father's rice fields. That included working on the Sabbath day. I prayed to Heavenly Father, and the Spirit planted a thought in my mind. I could try to finish the harvest before Sunday. I would get up early and work every morning before school. Then every afternoon I would work after school until dark. But by Saturday night, only half of the harvest was done. I went to bed discouraged that I had not accomplished my goal. Sunday morning I awoke early to go to the fields. My father came to my room and with a gentle smile asked why I wasn't going to church. My heart was full of joy. I could go to church and keep the Sabbath day holy. I am grateful to know that as we listen to the Lord's voice and follow Him, He will always bless and guide us. End of the article, The Harvest, by Elder Koichi Aoyagi of the 70. Read by Dwayne Case.
For little friends, I'll walk with you. If you don't walk as most people do, some people walk away from you. But I won't. If you don't talk as most people do, some people talk and laugh at you. But I won't. I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. That's how I'll show my love for you. End of the section for Little Friends.
Feeling Better by Sarah Chow. Based on a true story. I'm trying to love my neighbor. I'm learning to serve my friends. Children's Songbook, pages 78 and 79. Lara was having a lot of fun at the primary activity. She liked being with her primary friends. But then Tyler came up to her and said,
"Your dad is ugly. He wears glasses."
Lara frowned and didn't say anything.
"My brother said your dad is bad at basketball. He's a geek."
Lara felt tears coming to her eyes, so she ran out into the hall. She sat down, wrapped her arms around her knees, and cried. Why was Tyler being so mean? She thought. Lara looked up to see Sister Morris walking toward her.
"What's the matter, Lara?"
Sister Morris asked. Lara took a deep breath and told Sister Morris what had happened. Sister Morris frowned.
"That was not very nice of Tyler to say those things. I will talk to him about treating others kindly."
She gave Lara a hug and held out a cookie.
"Would you like a treat?"
she asked. Lara shook her head and wiped away her tears.
No, thanks.
How about if you come back to the activity and find someone else who would like a cookie?
Sister Morris said. She handed Laura the cookie. Laura followed Sister Morris back to the primary room. She liked to make other people happy. Laura looked around. She wondered who would want a cookie. Whitney, a new girl in primary, was standing by the wall. She looked a little nervous. Laura walked over to Whitney and held out the cookie.
"This is for you,"
she said. Whitney took the cookie and gave Laura a big smile. Laura smiled back. Her tears were all gone. She felt much better. End of the story. Feeling Better by Sarah Chow. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
Show and Tell. The primary of the Fairview Heights Ward, O'Fallon Stake, Illinois, USA, placed a star on the bulletin board each week they listened to or read the scriptures. Each week in primary, they told their favorite scripture story.
My uncle is serving a full-time mission in Guatemala, and I miss him a lot, but I have learned that he is serving Heavenly Father, and when I am big, I want to serve a mission just like him. Manuel L., age 5, El Salvador.
Today my mom wasn't feeling well, so I made her a snack. An orange, 2 cut-up carrots, and some chicken. Helping my mom made me feel like I was helping Jesus Christ. Muriel K., age 7, Czech Republic.
Holden W., age 9, Utah, USA, likes to ride his bike and play ball with his dog. He likes to read the scriptures and help with family home evening. He likes family home evening so much that once he taught 2 lessons in 1 night.
One Sunday, I was at church. My mom told me that it was fast and testimony meeting. I felt something inside me, pushing me, to tell my testimony. I was really nervous, but I went up anyway and talked about how excited I am to be baptized soon. After I talked, I felt good inside. A few minutes later, I felt my tooth wobble. I thought it was going to come out, so I told my mom and went to the bathroom. When we came back, my tooth was out. I told everyone that it was my testimony tooth. Now when I look at the space where my tooth was, it reminds me of my testimony. Annabelle R., age 7, Scotland.
My father lives and loves me. I know my father lives, and a special gift he gives. The gift he gives is love. It descends from up above. He loves us all around from heaven to the ground. Matthew B., age 9, Kansas, USA.
Hannah H., age 8, Hawaii, USA, likes to share the gospel. She enjoys bringing friends to church and activity days. She recently made a card for her new pen pal in England and cut out a nativity scene from the friend to decorate the card. She included a pass-along card inside. She likes to be a missionary. Other contributors to Show and Tell. Josh W., age 10, North Carolina, USA. Sarah W., age 11, California, USA. Brigham C., age 5, Mexico. Raquel C., age 7, Bolivia. End of Show and Tell.
Music. I Will Follow God's Plan for Me. Words and Music by Vanya Y. Watkins. Copyright 2014-1981 by Intellectual Reserve Incorporated. All rights reserved. This song may be copied for incidental, non-commercial church and home use. This notice must be included on each copy made. My life is a gift. My life has a plan. My life has a purpose. In heaven it began. My choice was to come to this lovely home on earth and seek for God's light to direct me from birth. I will follow God's plan for me, holding fast to His word and His love. I will work and I will pray. I will always walk in His way. Then I will be happy on earth and in my home above.
My life has a purpose. In heaven it began. My choice was to come to this lovely home on earth and seek for God's light to direct me from birth. I will follow God's plan for me, holding fast to His word and His love. I will work and I will pray. I will always walk in His way. Then I will be happy on earth and in my home above.
End of music. I Will Follow God's Plan for Me. Words and music by Vanya Y. Watkins. Read by Wes Nelson.
Bringing Primary Home. Learn more about this month's primary theme. Heavenly Father has a plan for His children. Oliver could smell Granny's brownies baking in the oven, and there was a reverent feeling in Granny and Granddad's house. Oliver had been looking forward to this special family home evening all day. Our lesson is about the plan of happiness that Heavenly Father made for all of us, Granddad said. Tonight the kitchen is going to represent heaven, where we lived with Heavenly Father before we came to live on earth, he said. Was I there, Granddad? Asked Archie. Oliver looked around the kitchen at Granny and Granddad, Mom and Dad and his younger brothers, Archie and Ethan. Yes, Granddad said. We were all there. And when Heavenly Father told us about His plan to create a world and to send a Savior for us, we were so happy that we shouted for joy. Archie and Ethan laughed and jumped up and down. Who was the first person in our family to leave heaven and come to earth? Granddad asked. You were, Oliver said. Granddad left the kitchen. Next, Granny left. Then, one by one, everyone in Oliver's family joined them in the bedroom. This room is going to represent the earth, Granny said. What are some of the things we can do on earth to help us return to Heavenly Father? She asked. Be baptized, Oliver said. Go to the temple, Mom said. Choose the rite, Archie said. Granny nodded and smiled. Then she said it was time to leave the earth and return back to Heavenly Father. I'll go first, Granddad said. Oh, Granddad, don't leave, Ethan said. Don't worry, Granddad said. Leaving the earth is part of Heavenly Father's plan of happiness. Soon we'll be back together again. One by one, everyone went back to the kitchen. We're all back in heaven, Dad said, as Archie and Ethan ran into his arms. Oliver felt as glad to see his family as if he had been away from them for a long time. He ran over to hug his brothers and Mom and Dad. Now he understood why Granddad had called it Heavenly Father's plan of happiness. Song and Scripture. I Will Follow God's Plan. Children's Songbook, pages 164 and 165. Moses, chapter 1, verse 39. Ideas for Family Talk. You could take turns naming some of the important things members of your family have already done to follow Heavenly Father's plan, such as praying, being baptized, receiving the priesthood, going to the temple, and choosing the rite. Give family members a chance to tell how they felt at those special times. Then you could name some important things your family will do in the future and talk about the happiness that will come as you continue to follow Heavenly Father's wonderful plan. I Will Follow God's Plan. Write the following scriptures on slips of paper and put them in a bag. 3 Nephi, chapter 17, verse 20. 2 Nephi, chapter 32, verse 9. Doctrine and Covenants, section 124, verse 34. 2 Nephi, chapter 32, verse 5. Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 32. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 33, verse 11. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 59, verse 9. John, chapter 5, verse 39. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 110, verses 7 and 9. Take turns drawing a slip and looking up the scripture. Then glue it under the word on each of the following steps that help us return back to Heavenly Father. You may need assistance with this activity. The following steps help us return to our Heavenly Father. Our life before birth. Prayer. Scriptures. Faith. Repentance. Baptism. Holy Ghost. Sacrament. Priesthood. Temple. End of the article. Heavenly Father has a plan for His children. Read by Dwayne Case.
Finding Help by Kimberly Reed, based on a true story. It was after midnight, but Tate knew it was time to talk. Heavenly Father, now I pray, guide and guard me every day. Children's Songbook, page 19. Tate lay awake in the darkness, blinking back tears. He had prayed for help, but it seemed like a heavy black cloud hung over him, shutting out the spirit. What if I never forget that awful TV show, he wondered. A few days ago, he had finished his homework early and flipped on the TV. But he hadn't expected to see something like that on the screen. Tate was so shocked that he forgot to turn off the television as quickly as he should have. It was an accident. He hadn't meant to watch a scene like that, but now he couldn't forget it. Sometimes it popped into his head in the middle of school, at the dinner table, even during church. At times like that, he was glad Mom and Dad couldn't read his mind. Tate's parents had taught him not to look at pictures of people without clothes on. He knew that they also expected him to avoid violent TV shows, movies, and video games. "Now I know why," Tate mumbled to himself. Tate got out of bed and onto his knees again. What could he do? "Heavenly Father," Tate whispered, "please help me stop thinking about what I saw." He wiped away the tears that had been forming in his eyes and listened. His heart beat faster. He thought he felt the Holy Ghost prompting him, but it wasn't the answer he wanted. He needed to tell his parents. Why? Tate wondered. He would feel like a baby going into his parents' room in the middle of the night. And to tell them? He felt embarrassed and sick all over again. Then a clear thought came into his mind. Heavenly Father wanted him to be happy. Heavenly Father wanted him to feel the Spirit again, to think about good things, and to be honest with his family. He especially wanted Tate to become a worthy Aaronic priesthood holder when he turned 12 in a few months. Tate realized that if he held on to what he had seen and kept it a secret, he would stay unhappy about it. Tate knew he needed help, and the Holy Ghost had just told him where to find it. Tate looked at the digital clock's glowing numbers beside his bed. It was nearly 1 o'clock in the morning. He stood up and headed into the dark hallway toward his parents' room. Swallowing nervously, he tapped on their door. "Mom? Dad?" "Tate, is that you?" came Mom's sleepy voice. "Is something wrong?" Dad asked. "Yeah," Tate said. "Can we talk? And can I maybe get a blessing?" Dad clicked on his bedside lamp and invited Tate inside. For the first time in days, Tate felt warmth, hope, and light.
Sidebar. My mom and I went to our town's Christmas parade. As we left, I overheard some things that weren't very pleasant. The words kept running through my head over and over. That's when I decided to pray to Heavenly Father. I asked that I'd stop thinking of the words. As soon as I finished, my thoughts cleared. I am so grateful that Heavenly Father helped me to stop thinking of those unpleasant words. Madison A., age 12, Virginia, USA.
End of the article, Finding Help, by Kimberly Reed, read by Wes Nelson.
P.S. We hope you enjoyed this month's magazine. Please write to tell us what you liked. How to Write to the Friend. How to Write to the Friend. Note, you may need some assistance with this activity. to send us a letter, drawing, poem, or photograph, 1. Fill out the form below and include it with your submission. 2. Include a school photo or high-quality snapshot. 3. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. 4. You must be at least 3 years old to send us a submission. Please send your submission to Friend Magazine, 50 East North Temple Street, Room 2432, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-0024, or email friend@ldschurch.org. The following information and permission must be included: your first and last name, your age, your state or province, and the country where you live. I agree to the terms of the Friend Submission Agreement, found at lds.org/friend/parental consent, and grant permission for the Friend to publish my child's submission and photo in print or online. Include the signature of the parent or legal guardian and the email of the parent or legal guardian. Visit friend.lds.org. Play games and watch videos. Read the Friend online.
Even though I cannot go inside the temple yet, I am grateful to Heavenly Father for the beautiful building and gardens that I can enjoy now. Luca G., age 9, England.
End of the section. P.S.
Prophet Portrait, Howard W. Hunter. Howard W. Hunter earned his Eagle Scout Award, the highest award in an achievement program for young men, when he was 15. He was fascinated with genealogy and often spent time searching the church genealogical library or visiting family. While serving as an apostle, he helped choose the site for the Brigham Young University Jerusalem Center. As president of the church, he encouraged members to worship in the temple often and dedicated the bountiful Utah Temple less than 2 months before his death. End of Prophet Portrait, read by Ethan Nelson.
Dear parents and teachers, one of the most important skills we can help a child learn is emotional resilience, the ability to bounce back from difficulties and approach life with a positive outlook. On page 24, you'll find a fun poem called Pockets Full of Rocks. Try collecting some rocks and naming things that can weigh us down. Then read the poem together and list some ways to plant your own beautiful garden. With love, The Friend. Order The Friend at store.lds.org. Family Home Evening Ideas. Love at Home. Family Fun Time on page 6 is about loving your family. Read Best Family Forever on pages 4 and 5 and make the Origami Hearts on page 6. Talk about other things you can do to make each family member feel loved. Learn something new. Have a Russian-themed family home evening. Make delicious blinis together from page 17. Read about Arena pages 14 through 15. And cut out the figure on page 18. Talk about why it's important to learn about other cultures and to respect and love all of Heavenly Father's children. I will follow God's plan for me. Learn about this month's primary theme on pages 42 and 43. You'll find a short lesson, a scripture, and ideas for talking with your children. You can also read Obstacle Course Challenge, pages 20 through 21. Set up your own obstacle course and talk about how agency and listening to the Spirit are important parts of God's plan. Media safety. Consider reading Finding Help, pages 44 and 45, together as a family and discuss the tips on page 46. Make a media plan to help each member of your family stay safe. You can find pornography prevention resources at overcomingpornography.org/family-and-friends. Visit Resources for Teaching Children at lessonhelps.lds.org for stories, activities, and media to use at home and in primary. Find videos and games for kids at friend.lds.org. Topics in this issue: Courage, Ty's Courage, Forgiveness, Pockets Full of Rocks, and Feeling Better, Holy Ghost, Obstacle Course Challenge, and Friend to Friend, The Harvest by Elder Koichi Aoyagi, Honesty, The Stolen Soda, Jesus Christ, Friend to Friend, The Harvest by Elder Koichi Aoyagi, Joseph Smith, From the First Presidency, Lessons from the Prophet Joseph Smith by President Henry B. Eyring, Media, The Adventures of Matt and Mandy, Finding Help, and Oh No, Now What? Missionary Work, Inviting Jacob, and I Hope They Call Me on a Mission, Plan of Salvation, Bringing Primary Home, Heavenly Father Has a Plan for His Children, Service, Special Witness by Elder M. Russell Ballard, I'll Walk With You, and Feeling Better. Standards, Better Words, Better Friends, and Finding Help. Sidebar References. 1. Of Things That Matter Most, Ensign, November 2010, page 21. And 2. Be Thou an Example of the Believers, Ensign, November 2010, page 48. End of the section, Dear Parents and Teachers. Read by Wes Nelson.